morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and the fastest growing segment of our society, to the portion of our society that's going to matter if we're going to salvage anything from what is being done to us. This program is devoted to those who know that the world's political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. We don't base this on any conspiracy theory, but instead by a comprehensive review of the news. Our mission, therefore, is to look behind the headlines, to know who is working against our interests, to understand why they're doing so. Because exposing and condemning errant and treacherous schemes isn't hateful, it's caring. Now, for example, today, we're going to expose one of the deepest and darkest secrets of the American military. That is the alarming epidemic suicide rate of returning veterans from the Afghani and Iraqi wars. And then we're going to expose and condemn what we have come to learn about the cover-up that the Roman Catholic Church has taken part in to keep as much of its pedophilia, priestly pedophilia, hidden. These are things that the world needs to know. We need to deal with. In our concluding hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah. Now, Torah does not mean law. There is no Hebrew word for obey. Torah means teaching, guidance. It is liberating, enriching, and empowering, especially for those who embrace the covenant. And it provides the only reliable answer for you and your family. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, 877-300-7645. At the end of our news hour yesterday, we were discussing this epidemic of suicides that is tormenting American veterans, particularly now those that have endured Afghanistan and Iraq. The reported numbers on those Americans killed in Afghanistan and Iraq is just under 7,000. Those numbers do not include those that we killed. They do not include those who died as a result of our invasion, which collectively number in the many hundreds of thousands. And those numbers do not include the Americans who died, who were not in active military service at the time, but were supporting the U.S. government's invasion. Those numbers do not include allied forces who fought and died alongside the American troops. But the number they will tell you is that, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq, okay, we didn't achieve our goals, but, you know, at least they weren't nearly as deadly as Vietnam, where nearly 60,000 Americans died. Oh, that's not true. They're much more deadly than Vietnam. Many more Americans died as a result of fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, before we go back to the suicide deaths of Americans who have returned from Afghanistan and Iraq, I would also have you know that the reason that the primary reason that service in Iraq and Afghanistan was not as deadly as doing tours in Vietnam was because of the progress that has been made in battlefield medicine. So that in Vietnam, a very substantial number of those who were seriously wounded died of their wounds. We didn't have the means to keep them alive. Although helicopters were now being used to remove the wounded from battle zones, and many times it was difficult to bring the helicopters in. They often came in too late. And the means that the troops had to deploy, stabilizing the medicine while they were waiting for evac, was primitive compared to what it is now. As a result, the casualties that were mutilating casualties, loss of arms, loss of legs, loss of sight, paralyzed, being paralyzed, these kinds of things. The serious casualties are much greater in Iraq and Afghanistan. We brought back tens of thousands of mutilated Americans, but they don't count in the 7,000 who actually died in Iraq and Afghanistan. But the number is about tenfold. For the 7,000 who died, there were 70,000 who came back, their bodies broken and mutilated, severely burned. But all of that is just the tip of the iceberg. The real carnage of America's invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, of two wars where we entered both countries based upon lies that President George W. Bush knew at the time were not true when he said them. And in both cases, we made bad situations much, much, much worse. In them, Americans were trained to view those that they were fighting as subhuman. And to they were encouraged to get their first kill. It was a travesty that would play havoc on their lives when they returned. This is the story that we'll continue to share. Experts have no doubt, this is now from CNN, that people are being missed in the national counting of veteran suicides. Lana Rich, the Veterans and Military's Families Coordinator in Nevada, helped publish an extensive report on that state's veteran suicides. Part of the problem, she says, is that there is no uniform reporting systems for death in America. It is usually up to a funeral director or a coroner to enter the veteran status and whether or not the death was a suicide on the death certificate. But there's no standardization. There's no requirement for them to do so. Veteran status is a single question on the death report, and the coroner may have no knowledge of prior service. And there's no verification being provided by the Department of Defense or the Veterans Administration. So the most of those who commit suicide, there is no one checking the box because the coroner does not know that their suicide was prompted by their experience in Afghanistan or in Iraq. And the Department of Defense is making no effort to get valid data because they don't want the world to know what we're talking about. You know, you would think, knowing that suicides were epidemic, I mean, the Veterans Administration knows that suicides are rising rapidly and that just from the 41 states representing 40% of the U.S. population, that there are more than 22 per day, that you'd come to grips with this, that this would, you would think, would be the single biggest issue to save the lives of those who devoted much of their lives to them. But it isn't. They're hiding from this issue. An investigation by the Austin American Statesman's newspaper last year revealed an alarmingly high percentage of veterans who died in this manner in Texas, a state that did not send data to the Veterans Administration. So in Texas, just as in California, there's an alarming number of veterans who had recently returned from Iraq and Afghanistan who took their own lives, and yet they were not counted in the totals because California and Texas don't report, nor does Illinois. Nicholas Lukabil, who had been home for 4 months from Iraq when he was shot to death by police in Vancouver, Washington. This occurred in September of 2010. The prosecutor's office said that Lukabil told officers, I want you to shoot me. The case is one of many considered suicide by cop and not counted in the suicide data. Carrie Leigh Goodwin enlisted in the Marines in 2007. She said she was raped by a fellow Marine at Camp Pendleton and eventually was forced out of the Corps with a personality disorder diagnosis. She did not tell her family that she was raped or that she had thought about committing suicide. She also did not tell them that she was taking Zoloft, a prescription drug for anxiety. Her father, Gary Noling, noticed that Goodwin was drinking heavily when she returned home. 5 days later, she went drinking with her sister, who left her intoxicated in a parked car, Zoloft. The Zoloft interacted with the alcohol, and she died in the back seat. Her blood alcohol content was 6 times the legal limit. Police charged her sister and a former friend in Goodwin's death for furnishing alcohol to an underage woman. Goodwin was 20. Noling says his daughter intended to drink herself to death. Later, Noling went through Goodwin's journals and learned about the rape and subsequent suicidal thoughts. She's not counted in that total. The likelihood of a woman in the U.S. military being raped is about 10 times the likelihood of a woman outside of the military being raped for over a similar period of time. And if you just look at the number of months that a woman serves in the military, she is versus the same number of months that a woman would live at the same age outside of the military, she's about 8 to 10 times more likely to be raped in the U.S. military. Now, that's disgusting. It's repulsive. It's inexcusable. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is what happened to this young woman who drank herself to death. That the victim of rape, just as it is in the religion of Islam, is blamed. They're the ones with the personality disorder diagnosis. They're the ones who are disgraced. And the perpetrators of rape are almost never prosecuted in the U.S. military. It's about 1% that are convicted. And for that, the military has no excuse. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. From what they witnessed and what they perpetrated in Afghanistan and Iraq. A recent analysis by News 21, an investigative multimedia program for journalism students, found that the annual suicide rate among veterans is about 30 for every 100,000 of the population, compared with the civilian rate of 14 per 100,000. Well, that's a little more than twice the rate. The 30 per 100,000 isn't accurate because we know that only 40% of states are even providing data on this, which means that the 14 per 100,000 is overstated of non-vets, and the 30 per 100,000 is understated. So both numbers have to be substantially altered because of the reporting system, and not by a little bit, but by a lot, by more than 2 times on the 30 per 100,000, making it more than 60, probably close to 100 per 100,000, and the 14 is probably needs to be decreased by in the range of 40% to 10 per 100,000, meaning that the actual number is probably 10 times the number of suicide deaths among returning veterans than it is among the general population. The analysis of records from 48 states found that the suicide rate for veterans was an average of 2.6% per year. Now, this is a report by journalist students who did not figure out that only 21 states are reporting, and those 21 states only represent 40% of the U.S. population. And that even the reporting in those 21 states representing 40% of the U.S. population, that only a fraction of the military suicides are properly attributed in those states because the system is arbitrary and being conducted via a checkbox by someone who is typically not familiar with the individual's history. Nearly one in five suicides nationally is a veteran, even though veterans make up 10% of the U.S. population, they found. Well, in actuality, it's not one in five. It's probably in the range of three in five. Much worse than what they are reporting. We have Glenn calling in from Philadelphia, and before we continue this study, I'd like to hear what Glenn has to say. Welcome, Glenn.
Good morning, Ada. There's, in the spirit of pointing out the pervasiveness of societal corruption, yes. There are no shortage of tragic ironies in the various circumstances here. First of all, the tragic irony in this woman's death involving alcohol at age 20. She's old enough to tote a rifle, kill and be killed for the sake of political ideology. But when returning to the barracks or the NCO club, not to sit down and drink a beer with colleagues to kind of take the edge off the day, So no beer. And I'm sure they don't. They just say, "Oh no, I can possibly drink a beer. I'm only 20."
Yeah, but in that base, that is amazing that the U.S. military, in an effort to get young people before their capacity to make good personal decisions has fully developed. And to fill the ranks of a military that is so abusive to those who participate in it, that they will lower the age of those that they not only train to kill, but they indoctrinate so that they choose to kill. That you can indoctrinate someone so that they and train them to kill at 18, but you can't serve them a drink until they're 21.
Right.
They don't have good enough judgment to handle alcohol until they're 21, but they have good enough judgment that you can train them to kill and motivate them to kill 3 years earlier than that. It is to say that it's an irony is sort of understated.
You can get married when you're like 18, but you can't toast at the wedding reception with champagne. And you can fly, you get a pilot's license at like 14.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, I think it's 16, but you're right. It is strange.
In addition, okay, so now she had been raped. Now, the rape is running amok in the military and involves both male rape and female rape.
Yes.
And if the rapist is caught and sent to prison, then the rapist may well likely be raped in prison, which is widely tolerated in our society. Now, the punishment, for crime is to go to prison and have one's freedoms withheld. The punishment for crimes is not to be raped in prison, which represents further crime on the behalf of the wardens and the administrators of the prison system.
Yeah, we'll turn to that thought when we return to Shattering Myths, because there was another irony in that story relative to the rapist versus the sister. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about the epidemic of suicides in the U.S. military on returning vets that is caused by what they witnessed and what they perpetrated, recognizing in Iraq and in Afghanistan, America's military was deployed by lying politicians, immoral politicians, to make bad situations worse. And they couldn't deal with what they saw and what they did. And they came back and they have committed suicide. In some cases, they couldn't live with what was done to them or what they were ordered to do. So I don't want to infer that those who committed suicide largely did so because of what they did. In many cases, it was what was done to them, what they witnessed others doing. And sometimes it was just witnessing, as we read the story yesterday, it is one military officer witnessed a little girl. He bent down to give a little girl a drink of water. And as he did, she was blown up by an explosive charge. And so here's somebody, He's calling over to him to give a drink of water. She's a young toddler, and she is blown up by an improvised explosive device. And you witness something like that, and you say, you know, what in the world are we over here trying to do something amongst these savages? And that could be the issue. In the case of this woman we're considering right now, she was raped, and then rather than deal with the rapist, the military drummed her out of the service and said that she was psychiatrically deranged, if you will. The second bit of irony, Glenn, in this, well, you've mentioned this, the first and the second. The third is that the sister was prosecuted, but not the perpetrator. The rapist was not prosecuted. But the woman for providing alcohol, the sister for providing alcohol to her sister, is prosecuted where the rapist is not. It's stunning how egregious this problem is in the U.S. military.
Right, right. The and it's actually the same with the sister. Like, it's obviously ignorance and negligence. Is, you know, had she not had the complications of the drug, obviously right. She was very, very drunk, but one would typically survive becoming blotto drunk like that, but not with the complications of the drugs. So, you know, what would normally not have been a life-threatening circumstance, you know, I'm sure she didn't intend her sister harm. It was clearly, you know, blatant ignorance and negligence of leaving her alone, too. I mean, what I see is the worst thing there is that she left her alone, utterly unable to observe her.
But I want to go
sleeping, it would have happened as well.
Yeah, I want to go back to the perpetrator, because it's not just the rapist, not just the fellow military officer, Cam Pendleton. It's also the U.S. military for not supporting this young woman. What they should have done is the moment she told them that she was raped, there should have been a court martial to determine whether or not a rape actually occurred. You know, I'm not saying that you immediately convict the individual, but there needs to be a court martial. There needs to be a hearing as to whether or not the woman's claim is accurate. Now, the reality is that reporting rape is such a horrendous experience that if we look at prior trial history, about 90% of the women who are willing to take a case to trial that claim to have been raped and who have a rape, you know, test done after the event are telling the truth and that the rapist is convicted, but not in the U.S. military. So it's the U.S. military's fault of treating this woman with a drug, accusing her of being psychotic, and not prosecuting the perpetrator, which is why the sister did not know that she was taking this drug.
Right. So they were criminally. There were two crimes there. One was the criminal negligence of failing to prosecute upon her allegations.
Correct.
And then the other was the actual criminal, the utilizing of the psychiatric system to criminally defame her.
Correct. Yeah, it's not just that a woman in the U.S. military is 8 to 10 times more likely to be sexually harassed than a woman outside the U.S. military, which is an abomination all by itself. It's that the vast majority of women who are raped, and men who are raped, there is a very substantial number of men who are raped. They're not raped by women, they're raped by men. That you only have about a 1% conviction rate because the vast majority of men, it's just like Roman Catholicism. They're reassigned, they are protected, they're covered over, that the military doesn't want its credibility destroyed with the public, and so they work to cover up the crime, and then they go after and they harass and they discredit the victim.
Right.
It's appalling.
It's appalling, and it's just to say, that's why I started the call by saying, just to point out the pervasiveness, the depth, the ubiquity of the corruption at so many levels, in so many ways, you know?
Yes.
But This idea of male rape is so, I can remember being in ninth grade and one of the potentially randy young men in one of my classes thinking it sounded like a fun idea until he realized that it wasn't a female doing the raping.
Yes.
Young people don't realize what, it's like,
You know, we're going to cover a story in our second hour on Roman Catholic rape. And the vast majority of the rape in the Roman Catholic Church, not exclusively, but it's in the 90 percentile, is homosexual pedophilic rape. It's boys being raped by men. And so rape is not always men raping women. It is to a very significant degree, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, men raping little boys.
And also among the royals of Europe, also quite ubiquitous. All right. Thank you, Adam.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. This story continues. More than 34,000 suicides from the 21 states that reported data, representing just 40% of the U.S. population, that the VA is aware of, were actually discarded because the state death records failed to indicate whether the deceased was a veteran. So beyond their 22 a day that they are acknowledging, there's 34,000 suicides from the 21 states that are actually reporting that were discarded because even though they were a veteran, the state death records failed to indicate. So, combat stress is just one of many reasons why veterans attempt suicide. And actually, it's not combat stress. It's just not the reason. It's the horror that is witnessed being perpetrated and the horror that is being perpetrated. It is being asked to do something that is grotesquely immoral, which is what we were asked, which what our politicians ordered our military to do in Afghanistan and Iraq. Military sexual assaults are another problem. Psychiatrist Craig Byron says that his research is finding that military victims of violent assault or rape are 6 times more likely to attempt suicide than non-military victims. 6 times. Even though more older veterans are committing suicide, it's difficult to predict what the toll will be on America's newest wars will be. Now, this statement by CNN is inconsistent with the evidence. The evidence is saying that the rate of suicide amongst older veterans is the same. In fact, some states have actually shown a slight decrease among suicide rates on those that served in wars prior to Afghanistan and Iraq. The exponential growth is on those who have just returned from Iraq and Afghanistan. A survey by the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America showed that 30% of the service members, 30%, have considered taking their own life. 30%, one out of every three, who we sent to Afghanistan and Iraq to make a bad situation worse based on a pile of lies by American politicians, 30% of them have considered committing suicide. 45% say they know an Iraq or Afghanistan veteran who's actually attempted to commit suicide. This quote from Brian Kinsella, who is an Iraq war veteran. He started Stop Soldier Suicide. He stated, there's a tidal wave of suicides coming. There's actually been a tidal wave of suicides that have happened, but he's saying that it's going to get worse. He says that the Veterans Crisis Line received more than 900,000 calls. That number does not include chats and text regarding those who were contemplating committing suicide. President Barack Obama says that there's a need to end this epidemic of suicide among our veterans and troops. End quote. In August of 2012, he signed an executive order calling for stronger suicide prevention efforts. A year later, he announced $107 million in new funding for better mental health treatment for veterans with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury. You know, that's not the problem. The problem isn't trying to drug people or to have them go through psychiatric treatment upon their return. The problem is sending people into a war zone based on lies. In fact, we didn't even send them into a war zone in Afghanistan and Iraq. We created the war zone. But every reason for going was a lie. They made a bad situation worse. They perpetrated and they witnessed horror beyond imagination. That's the reason they're committing suicide. It has nothing to do with inadequate post-psychiatric treatment. You know, one of the things that just reminds me, and it's an interesting correlation here. A number of research organizations have done a study amongst the mass shootings in America, particularly the mass shootings in schools in America, but all mass gun killings in America that have been perpetrated over the last 50 years, and they have one thing in common. It's not the firearm. It's the use of mind-altering legal prescription drugs. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. As I investigated this story, I found the following. It reads, the leap in suicide rates for the youngest vets has officials especially worried. Stars and Stripes reported. Stars and Stripes is the official U.S. Military magazine. The cause of the increase, they claim, remains unclear. That's the problem with America, particularly the problem with the U.S. military. Befuddled thinking, unable to make the connection between being asked to go fight a war based upon lies. You know, that Saddam Hussein didn't have weapons of mass destruction. Al-Qaeda was not being harbored in Iraq. We invaded Afghanistan on a pile of lies. Saddam Hussein had not purchased yellow cake uranium, and the smoking gun was not going to be a nuclear bomb. It was nothing but a pile of lies. As it relates to Afghanistan, no Afghani nor Iraqi was involved in 9/11. None were trying to kill Americans. What do you expect when people watch such carnage, knowing that the reason they were sent there by politicians was completely erroneous? What do you expect? What do you expect when you're being told that you're being sent there to liberate the civilians of that country, and it's the civilians of both countries that are killing you? What do you expect? What do you expect when your commanders order you to fire and kill civilians? Because that's who you're shooting at. It's all we ever killed over there, were civilians. Yeah, sure, the civilians were jihadists. That's the nature of Islam. Imagine going over there and having sacrificed so much, lost close friends, knowing that we gave Iraq to Iran and made the world infinitely more vulnerable. I mean, what would you do? You've witnessed your comrades commit unspeakable crimes, and yet the code says you can't out them. What do you do? Well, they take their own lives. The cause, they say, remains unclear, but officials are searching for reasons to point to post-traumatic stress disorder, combat injuries, or the difficulties young veterans face in reentry in civilian life. No, sorry. Looking in all the wrong places. Now, it's true that you teach somebody how to kill. You motivate them to kill. And when they come back to a society that says, you know, you aren't supposed to kill, that's tough. When your skill set is killing, you know, there's not much call for that in your regular everyday life. The rates are astronomically high and climbing. Jan Kemp, the VA's National Mental Health Director for Suicide Prevention, told Stars and Stripes. The rates are astronomically high and climbing. Well, here are the numbers. 22 suicide deaths are being reported of young returning veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq every day. 22 per day of returning Afghanistan and Iraqi vets. 22 a day. That's reporting from 40% of the U.S. population, 21 states. The biggest states don't report. And in the states that do report, reporting is arbitrary. So if you just look at the fact that 40% of the states are reporting 22 deaths per day, you can do the math. You divide 22 by 40, and you realize the number of deaths for the nation as a whole would be 55. But all of the investigations that we have just considered all reveal that even in the 21 states representing 40% of the population that are reporting, that one-third of the number of veteran suicides aren't being attributed to veterans, which means you need to divide the 55 by 0.7 to get the actual number, which is 80 per day. 80 per day. There's 365 days in a year. That's 29,000 suicides among vets, returning vets, a year. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are now approaching their 13th year. It's been 10 years since troops have been coming home from what they have done and what they have witnessed. If you multiply 10 times 29,000 per year, the death toll of this war climbs by 290,000.